Greg, are you there, sir?
Hi. Since I've been a young child, I've had a chronic ear infection. And just a short little time ago, I found out possibly what was why it was. I apparently have a deviated septum and probably some occlusions in the eustachian tubes to my right ear, and that's the one that gets infected most frequently. It was very frequent when I was a child, but it's become much, much less frequent, down to maybe a couple of times a year now, or once every other year even lately. But it's starting, I'm starting to feel it again, and I'm just wondering, short of a surgery to correct the septum or whatever, is there anything natural, naturopathic oriented that I could do to, you know, possibly stave off infections?
Absolutely, sir. Same thing that we talk to parents about whose kids keep getting ear infections. First thing, refined sugar of any sort has been shown to impair the function of the immune system against any infection, including ear infection. What it does is it interferes with the ability of the white blood cells to go eat germs. And a professor from University of Alabama did a really cool study. He had people get blood drawn and watch their white cells under the microscope to see how many germs per minute they could eat. And on the average, it was 14 germs per minute. And this is an average of all these folks. All right. Then he had everybody just eat a teaspoon of sugar. That's all. You know how many teaspoons there are in the average soft drink? Oh, 5 to 7. A teaspoon of sugar. Then he waits an hour and he draws blood, and he waits 2 hours and he draws blood. And he does that until he gets to a specimen where the white blood cells have recovered their capability to get back to 14 germs a minute. But an hour after that teaspoon of sugar, sir, the white blood cells could only eat 7 germs a minute, half the number, and it took 5 to 6 hours to get back to normal germ-eating capability. And so what the professor would say at meetings I thought was kind of cool. He'd say that if you don't want to have an extra risk of an infection, particularly you parents who are having kids with ear infections, don't feed them any sugar except at 2 o'clock in the morning, when the effect of the sugar will be worn off. Because the rest of the time, if they have sugar in breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they're going to have more susceptibility to infection, and ear infection is a common one. Now, that's not all. I'll go on to the next thing, and that is so common, food allergies that people don't know they have. Have you been tested for food allergies? If not, and you're an ear infection sufferer, the odds are extremely good you're going to find at least one or two foods you commonly eat, and you cut those out, and what do you know, you quit having as many allergies. This is something we do over and over at the clinic, as you can hear, is work with people with recurrent infection. They are mostly children, as you said, but it does happen in adults too.
I just did have that allergy test done at Meridian Labs. I'm working with Dr. Lamps, and I've seen him once, so
Yay.
Far, only once.
Okay.
And so I got the results of the test, and there really are no things on there that look to me obviously bad, but I haven't talked to him about it yet.
Well, fortunately,
I don't eat sugar. I never eat sugar. So,
yay. Well, then let's get on to the things that we tell people about to take affirmatively to not get infections. Number one is always vitamin A. Are you taking vitamin A and not beta carotene? It's got to be vitamin A, and it's got to be a pretty good dose.
I don't know. I honestly don't know if it's carotene what I'm taking or not.
Okay. Well, if you read the label and it says vitamin A, and it doesn't say beta-carotene, that's what you're looking for. And I'm not kidding, it needs to be 50,000 IU a day. Oh my gosh, isn't that too much? Of course not. There's a study done on young men with faces full of acne, and they all took, I am not kidding you, 500,000 units of vitamin A a day for 6 months. Their faces got a lot better, and nobody had any adverse effects. That's 500,000, and nobody's talking here, especially me, about taking that much. 50,000 units of vitamin A a day is safe unless you're a fetus. And the World Health Organization has gone so far as to say that vitamin A is so well proven to cut down on risk of infection that we better stop doing placebo studies anymore, because it would be unethical to give the people placebo, because we know it works. Number two, your vitamin D level. It needs to be up to the tropical optimal. And if you're working with Dr. Lamson, he can have that test run for you. And the tropical optimal is between 60 and 100. And the laboratories will tell us it's normal if it's over 30. And that, as my Italian grandmama would say, is Bologna, because our bodies don't even start making And no kidding, our bodies make natural antibiotics. They do. They're called Catholicidins. Now, why anybody named them that, I don't know, because it sounds like a massacre of Catholics, but it's not. That's just what they're called. They're called Catholicidins, and our bodies don't make those until we get close to that 60 to 100, and nobody in the tropics ever died of a 60 to 100 level. So those two things, people tell me over and over again that I haven't seen in a while, oh, since I started taking that 50,000 units of vitamin A a day, and it's safe for men and safe for women, unless you might get pregnant, and I got my vitamin D level up to between 60 and 100, you know, I rarely get infections anymore. I hear that frequently, sir. So if you're not doing those two things, then those are two of three. Did he say of three? There's one more? Yes. Zinc, which is so, so important for the male prostate. I guess there aren't any female prostates, huh? But suppose I should say for the prostate then. Is also the number one mineral for the whole blinking immune system. No kidding. If we don't keep our zinc levels up with time, that thymus gland, which is right under the breastbone, is the master regulator of the whole immune system, it just deteriorates. And any autopsy surgeon will tell you that he can always tell that somebody is 90 because they can't find their thymus gland anymore. It's just shreds. Well, it's been shown in experimental animals that if they keep their zinc levels up to something reasonable, that they don't deteriorate like that. So it's vitamin A, vitamin D, and zinc are the affirmative things. And I'm glad you're not eating sugar and you don't have food allergies, which are the things to avoid.
Okay. Thanks for that. Can I just get a clarification on the vitamin A? Is there a particular form I want or just anything but carotene?
The best absorbed there is made by a company called Biotics Research. I do not work for them. They do not pay me money, but they have a little 1 ounce bottle, which of course doesn't explode on airplanes. It has to be bigger than 3 ounces to explode on an airplane. And three drops of that are 6,000 units. And for most of us in the Seattle, that's vitamin D, three drops of 6,000 units. Four drops of the vitamin A are 50,000 units. And Biotics Research makes the vitamin A in drops and vitamin D in drops. And they do absorb even in people who are not good absorbers. So I'm really impressed with their brand, but no, I'm not affiliated with them.
Okay. And is there a particular form of zinc that I would want to look for?
Yeah, the one that's balanced with copper. And here I can give you another trade name because it's the only company that makes this one. It's Nature's Life, and they make a zinc 30 milligram. It's zinc picolinate, which is proven to be the best absorbed. And it's balanced off with two milligrams of copper. And if we're going to be taking zinc long term, and if we happen to be a guy over 40, it's my opinion that all of us should be taking that to keep our prostate glands protected. And just take one a day, and that's not an overdose, and don't take any more unless you talk to a doctor about it.
Okay, so one of those a day, all right. And can I have one more quick question?
Got to be quick, sir. I got some people waiting.
Potassium iodide.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about starting to take it, but I was wondering, what does it do to the bacteria and stuff in the gut? You say it gets in your mucous membranes, kills it pretty much everywhere. Does it kill it in the gut?
Well, only if you use it by enema, sir. The stuff is absorbed in the upper small intestine.
Okay.
And talk to Dr. Lampson.
Thank you very much.
Yep. You're welcome. Dr. Lampson knows a heck of a lot about potassium iodide.